The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Hey, hi, hello, welcome to the after party, where putting grapefruit and tomatoes together on a platter is apparently the most groundbreaking.
There's a vinaigrette involved.
It's poke. It's so easy to do.
It's yuzu. It's soy sauce with fucking lemon and lime.
Oh my gosh, this is a vine. You put watermelon inside a watermelon. Anybody? No? Okay.
Oh, we love Queer Eye at this table.
Also, can we talk about how that was accidental? We didn't go into this episode going into, we're going to make this a Queer Eye episode. I love how it just became that.
Yeah. I did watch like 17 episodes of Queer Eye yesterday because I was very hungover. So this might have been on my mind.
That's some feel-good viewing.
But yeah, like I don't know. I saw Vince tied up and in my mind's eye, because that was when we were doing the game in imagination. And yeah, it was just, I felt bad for him. He didn't ask for this and he needed some help. But as someone who also forgets the more quotidian aspects of like sleeping and cleaning and eating when, you know, I'm feeling down, it made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I think Tracy felt a lot of similarities with Vince. So it was nice to help someone.
It was sad to go into a home that was so generic and then no food. That was just, come on now.
Not even a cup of sugar to make a cake.
You gotta have emergency meals ready. Even if that's ramen or I always have
soup.
Cans of beans and rice.
Yes.
Always.
I like those frozen Trader Joe's pizzas. I always have a couple in my freezer. Friends come over. Oh, look, appetizers. It's great.
Welcome to join the Queer Eye Party, where we give you household tips.
Welcome to Queer the Party, a party within a party where everyone gets a queer glow up.
And Anara finally gets a girlfriend. This was a collaboration between Ev, who helped us during the what was the first
running
labor?
Of the cows.
Oh, is this a is this a bit?
Because
it's Ev. No.
Actual Ev, who is actually a writer, doesn't have any memory impairments.
I met him recently. He's cool.
He's very cool.
He's cool. He's good beard.
Yeah, Ev worked with me on this one. This is more like me doing the heavy lifting. But again, some of these are based on Herculean labors. So the first labor you do is the Nemean lion. The Nemean lion is supposed to be like impervious to attack because of its golden fur. But shooting it in the mouth with a powder blast is definitely not a non-magical attack with swords and weapons.
So what I'm hearing is that we were rewarded for avoiding the very nice, kind of convenient crop duster plot line and instead making Tracy into an anti-poison crop duster. Yeah,
that's
like
what I'm
avoiding
too.
Your neat plot ends is helping us out ultimately.
This is actually hilarious. I mean, this is what I was excited for Labor Party. By doing this in any order, now you will do each labor with like new things. Like, I wonder if you'd use the magic hat. What had happened if Vince had been your enemy? Like, now you have a friend who you can call on the phone, Brandon.
Yeah,
the
what
stone.
Are those?
First of all, I would really like to see Vince as a cat with the idea hat on. He would just come up with better ways to eat people, I think.
Yeah.
Like, better traps. But those are sending stones. So when we went away and did our individual things, Tracy on the side has been sort of trying to learn more magical construction, I guess. And the first thing you get as part of your level 8, I think it is, or like level 3. Or
when you get level 2 of being Artificer, you get to make a magical technology thing. Right. And you chose sending stones.
Yeah, and they're usually like really small things. So yeah. The most cool one was a sending stone, and I kind of like put my own flavor on it. But basically, they are just walkie-talkies that will work everywhere, Dan?
They actually have no defined space in between them. They're more like cell phones than anything, like the Nextel walkie-talkies from 2005.
Which are still kind of, you know, people still use those kind of. They have, like, upgraded because they're, like, heavy-duty, like those tough books.
Right, they use them on construction sites and stuff. So, yeah, they're actually, like, very, very powerful walkie-talkies.
Yeah. So now
that's really cool.
Anytime our party needs a giant lion to come eat something for us.
Or a nice, just regular guy. Who's working on himself.
Or, yeah, I just want to hang out with Vince.
Yeah. I do. I like Vince.
I think
for
we
Vince.
Should. Yeah.
He doesn't
have
to be
a
line hanging out.
Potluck.
Yeah.
He'll like that.
What would Donnie make for a potluck?
Vince would use an air fryer to make a poke inspired but cooked appetizer.
Cooked?
Johnny would bring forks.
Johnny would do all of the
like
decorations
like,
and.
Sparkling froze with like edible glitter.
That would be delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy's Fluffernutter sandwiches.
That's good. The Nemean line is really interesting because since you can't puncture him, or I guess with D&D terms, he has resistance to piercing, bludgeoning, and slashing damage from non-magical weapons. That means that the Nemean lion can swallow you whole. I have a swallow action, which I was going to do to Tracy if he had not grappled the lion's jaws.
I'm too big and strong, though. You can't swallow me.
Yeah.
I'm Tracy.
That would have been Tracy. Yeah, it would have been very bad. But then you would have like rattled around in its stomach,
that
which would have been
fun.
Very funny.
Yeah.
I had this vision in my head of how this is how it was gonna go. One of you was gonna fail miserably, like Brandon did.
Hey.
And then one of you was gonna get swallowed, and then Vince was gonna show up again and be like, oh man, don't know where he went. Probably went on into the cave, and then you would have set off one of the traps, and then you would have been knocked out, and he would have ate all of you.
That would have been very good.
What?
That would have been like Vince's optimal plan.
I was going to say, that's very dark as the way you hoped this would
no,
go.
No, that's not DM Eric's plan. That's Vince's plan. Eric's plan was only one of us get eaten, and then the rest of us figure it out.
And then you guys figure it out and be like, where's Inara?
We can just say it. You were going to have me screw up and get eaten.
He doesn't have to make you do it. You do it now.
No, right, it wasn't even me. You screwed up by not being able to do your maze.
Well, I argue that I am very good and solved it creatively.
To be clear, Eric actually gave us mazes, which isn't the first time he's done this to players.
That's true.
Paper mazes, printed out. We had to do them.
It was very good. I did this with the campaign that I played with Amanda and Julia Schaffini and Eric Schneider from the Spirits team. This is like the D&D game that I was playing before I did join the party. I just think it's really fun to do a game inside of a game. So whenever you have a maze, you do a survival check to figure out how good you are at doing the maze. You make like DC tiers of how well you do. So if you do really well, you get an easy maze, which you print out like for children. You get a medium like difficulty maze.
Also for children.
Listen, I have no shame in killing a easy children's maze.
You
still
crushed
killed it.
And you did do that, yeah.
This one was actually a little bit harder. The one that I did originally for Amanda and Julia's campaign.
I think Julia got that one. It had like four lines in it.
She did. She was a ranger, so she was super good at survival, and it was like a ladybug maze. So it was like on top of like a picture of an animal. It was very cute.
If this had been a three-dimensional piece of paper you'd given us, I would have just folded.
Yeah.
See, if you fold time and space, you get from one point
that's
to the other point.
That's deep.
And it's a wormhole.
That's very deep. That is.
I like that.
So, you know, I solved it better than everyone, I think.
I would disagree with you.
I mean, it's why I'm the DM.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Wait. And a quick plug for our Instagram, instagram.com/jointhepartypod. We have a little photo of our mazes.
I have a question for players.
Yeah.
How are you guys feeling about these trials so far? How
are
you feeling about the approach?
I also
that we're
want
taking?
To sleep.
Yeah, well,
wait,
I don't
you
know,
or
wait,
Inara?
Amanda or Inara?
Regardless of my own personal feelings, no, I think Inara is going to really get disoriented as time goes on and sleep does not happen and days just kind of restart. She can count on nothing except for the passage of the seasons.
I really like this approach. Michael really likes this approach. I think it's fun. Johnny, however, is fully taking advantage of all these different changes for clothing changes.
Oh, for sure.
Which I'm excited that just ended in winter times.
Yeah, well, you were a Jungle Cruise operator for this
I was
game.
A Jungle Cruise operator.
You had
probably
the puns
like
and everything.
High socks, sandals.
Oh my gosh,
cargo
of
shorts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Johnny has Arctic weather sock sandal combination, by the way.
Oh, wow.
It I'm totally so excited.
That seems really inefficient.
It is waterproof, and it totally works, and I will describe it when we get there.
God, I love being Zaol so much. I think this is what happens when you have a triumvirate god system. Like, there's a reason why pantheons have so many gods, because you want gods to have specific personalities in mythologies and, like, be specific characters that control that one thing. But it's like, since we only have a triumvirate here, this, like, old Jewish grandpa is responsible for so many things, and he's just, like, not that great at being a trickster. I think that's, like, what he's trying to function as, and he's trying to, like, regain some power here, even though he's kind of over a metaphysical barrel. But I really like it, and being him is really fun. So I like that he just kind of combined two labors, and he's like, fuck it.
How do you feel about being just, like, a compass?
He does not like being stuck in the compass.
I'm sure he appreciates having the eyebrows now, though.
He does, and
that is
very
my
funny
gift to him. Every time we will be there, I will activate the eyebrows.
It's good. This is very, like, Greek mythology, like, gods have human foibles too, and I really like that.
Yeah,
it's fun to mess with.
I'm super interested that Tracy doesn't have to sleep, so, like, at the end of these labors, both Inara and Jon are going to be dying, and Tracy's just going to be feeling great.
Dying, we're just tired and ready.
Inara will be dying.
I know. I'm gonna have to carry you on my back. It'll be fun.
And Oki on my back.
Be cute.
That's so cute.
That's good. Do you guys want to do some after party questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Brandon, I have two questions that are related to each other.
I'm unprepared.
Editing. I'm sorry to hear that. This one comes from our Discord from Grizzly Joe, who is also named Tim.
What a good name.
Very good.
Excellent.
Why do you cut the podcast so heavily? Was that a decision you made from the beginning? Or are there things you cut out for sure in every episode?
It's a big question. I don't want everyone to talk on it, obviously. But from my perspective, the barrier to entry for a lot of D&D podcasts is that they are so long. And it takes so long to get to anything meaningful. And, like, that's a style of show. Like, if you're just looking to, like, hang out and sort of be at the table with someone, that's great. That's what you enjoy. Very cool. I do not want to do that. I'm very much, like, a plot and story person. And so I think tighter editing serves story better. In terms of things that always get cut, not really. My only, like, big rule is jokes have to stay in the universe unless they're, like, really good. There's a lot of bloopers that I cut that are very good jokes but ultimately don't serve the narrative or the story, so they end up in the bloopers, which is fun for our patrons if you're a patron. But other than that, honestly, most of the editing is, like, cleanup. Long silences, long thinking sessions, us debating about whether or not to do a thing.
Dice falling off the table.
Dice falling off the table.
Glasses clinking.
References to Johnny being a, you're going to cut this, actually. I just realized that he's a licensed therapist.
Yep. Do you guys agree that it's good to edit that tightly?
For me, it kind of came out of the way that we played and designed the first two episodes, where we, you know, did, like, months of pre-production and planning to make sure that this story was inviting to people who had never played D&D before, like myself. So having a ton of, you know, dice rolls or banter among the players, like, it's nice to hear people on podcasts that feel like they're friends and feel like I am one of their friends too. But there comes a point where that's, like, off-putting to outsiders. Like, I didn't listen to McElroy podcast for a long time because I was like, I think they're doing a bit, but I don't know. And that's just, like, you just don't, you know, you have to really get the humor in order to get the humor. And so it can be hard to start. So that's why I really like that we kind of put story first, and then people come to know us through that. And the after party, if they want to. And, you know, if they don't, that's fine. They can still enjoy our story. That is why we have the after party, too, so that we have a chance to talk about our choices, our characters, to hang out with each other, be a little bit more conversational.
Loose, yeah.
Because, yeah, we want to let people choose their experience. And if they want to have both, they can have both. But if they have time for two recaps and then they can tune into our newest arc, they can do that, too.
Yeah. And for the after party, I don't think I edit much out at all. It's only, like, cleanup at that point. And anything that gets, like, too long-winded. But we had some big discussions at the top for that first episode of, like, we had some initial edits, and I think there were some, like, hey, this joke was, I remember this joke being really good. What happened to that joke? And it was, like, it was out of universe. Do we want that? That's, like, a style choice. It's a tone choice. What we were really intentional about how we edited that first episode, and listening back, it's, like, you can kind of tell.
Yeah.
But it set the stage
it
for
set
then,
the tone and style for, exactly, yeah, for what we did down the line. And I think now, where I am now, it's something I'm super proud of, the way it's edited and put together and the way it's structured and flows and everything. And yeah.
Something we always edit are fights. Initiative fighting, I think, is the least effective way to talk about fighting or combat on podcasts. So we spend a lot of time chopping things from there, like me discussing the maps or people deciding what to do next. Or
me being like, wait, the door's on the north side? Wait, which side? The north side?
Or that's actually really interesting, too, because I have to be really careful to leave in just enough direction for the listener to know where it is.
Yeah.
But the listener has the luxury of rewinding, while us in the moment do not. So we have to re-ask questions to make sure that we're understanding where you can just rewind if you don't understand a direction.
And sometimes you get a little extra information from that re-ask, or like you interpret it a different way and you learn something, so you have to then edit that in as well.
And make that smooth. Yeah.
I need to think about that critically. Like, that's why I never use minis. That's why I very rarely use maps unless I need to make something explicitly clear to you three and then to the listeners.
Yeah.
I also ask about the rules of advantage every time advantage is, is involved.
No one should ever play a rogue. Rogues are too complicated.
Who let me play a rogue?
It's also super interesting about fight scenes. It's like the thing that Amanda talks about a lot, which I love, is, and the thing I've been thinking about a lot is like podcasting and sound design and editing is about impressionism. It's about recreating the feeling that you have in the moment for the listener. So like fights without music, I hate having 14-minute long music tracks, but without that like constant rhythm behind it that like drives it forward, they are so boring.
Agreed.
Oh my God, they have no energy. Like they have less energy than dialogue does, which is bonkers.
And maybe that is an argument for people that stream their games or that put up almost unedited or completely unedited videos or audio of their sessions, is that like over that length of time, you can kind of lose yourself in the conversation. You feel like you're at the table, and when the plot builds, you kind of build along with it. But we have like a shortcut and a fast pass, and you know, we don't leave in all of that like time and tension and like player squabbling and whatever there might be. So we need another way to make people care about the stakes like we do here, very close together at one table, you know, watching the story unfold in our imaginations. So I'm super glad, and like, I don't know, we're so lucky that Brandon has all these skills to do these things between the music and the sound design and the great editing and just having a great editorial point of view, because it takes everybody's talents, from the writing to the story to the individual playing to just supporting each other as people, that makes this actually happen.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, that segues really nicely into another question. One of Brandon's other skills is remembering fucking continuity.
Yes. God.
This question comes from Amara. Do you guys ever reference something that had been previously cut or used for bloopers? How do you keep track of it all?
You know what the funny thing is? When we were talking about things that we wanted to come back a second ago or a bit ago or maybe an episode ago at this point, I don't know. I've listened to every episode, I don't know, 4 times at least. And I don't remember most of it.
I do.
I just know when I make intentional choices about this being in canon or not.
Yeah. In my head, I have to flag things that I definitely want to come back to. So there are things that I remember that I definitely going to bring back into the adventure. One example is the Book of Things to Come.
Yeah. Which I think is a good example of teamwork, is where you fill in the gaps where I can't, and vice versa.
It's between Brandon and I. I mean, Brandon has listened to it enough times that he has a working knowledge of a lot of the stuff in there, and he knows the difference between things that are cut and not cut. So I fill in all of the more detailed questions.
And I rely on you to bring things back to the story later. Yeah,
exactly. I think there are only 2 examples of things that Brandon cut that got referenced.
Raccoon.
I've been waiting to yell raccoon, and I'm angry you got there first.
Wait, raccoon didn't get cut though. It's in there. It's just not quite the extent of the entire conversation.
You had the line where I was like, "Wait, that was my werewolf potion. Does that mean it's a were-raccoon?" And everyone's like, "We're moving on."
Raccoons drinking, you know, becoming friends. Well, there was a whole raccoon episode, basically.
For what? Just to remember back in Antopolis when we met Jamie for the first time, Fish threw the bucket of wine that had a werewolf potion in it into a dumpster, and then we established later that there were raccoons in said dumpster.
I think we actually saw a raccoon like walking drunkenly away from the dumpster.
Yes.
And then I was like, wait, there was a werewolf potion in that. Eric, are we going to have were-raccoons? And we were like, moving on.
We had seen them on our way into the tavern, and then on our way out, you know, thinking that we would have were-raccoons, thinking that, oh, raccoons appreciate a good free wine. They'd become our friends.
Yeah.
We'd have raccoon werewolf companions.
Okay, so this is a good example of something that is really funny, so I try my hardest to keep it in. But the entirety of the segment does not serve the narrative, and it's very long, and I also try to keep things under an hour if possible, because it's a long show.
And we were on our way to a big plot reveal, and then we were just freaking
messing around.
Yeah. Two of us here really wanted to move on, but the other two really wanted to fucking know what was going on with the raccoons!
Listen, I just want to remember my items! I want to remember my items! I remember my items! I remember my items! I remember them. I remember my items.
So it had no bearing on the further narrative. So if things don't have bearing on narrative or they don't serve the comedic function, they should not be in your show, period. That's my opinion.
I agree with you. The secret is Brandon and I were the ones who wanted to move the story forward.
I don't know how you could tell based on two people's enthusiasm and two people's quiet.
It was a spoiler.
But what's the other thing?
The other thing is that Fish has been trying to establish that Johnny is a licensed therapist for about 30 episodes now.
I feel like I can't even remember when Johnny revealed that he had a degree in clinical psychology.
I have a diploma. Is that the start of Pool Party?
It says here, diploma in clinical psychology. So I see that because it's in my items.
I think I cut that. There was a reason I cut it. Well, partially because, again, it doesn't serve narrative. But part of editing is trying to make everyone sound their funniest and best at all times. And I think the way it was set up, it just wasn't. It didn't have a punchline, really. Like, the punchline wasn't very punchy.
Oh, sure.
A lot of our jokes I'll edit to make the punchlines punchier.
Like, thank you.
Like Amanda and we were saying, like, we'll sort of riff until we get to the funny part. So I'll just cut some of the riff so we hit right to the funny part so it's punchier.
Would you say that we cut to the feeling?
I would say that we cut to the feeling. Yeah? Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, Fish.
I mean, don't apologize to me. Johnny's the licensed therapist.
We'll have a talk with him later.
Thank you so much for joining us for this after party. I hope that your cabinets are well stocked and that you think of some freezer meals that you can keep around for emergencies. Please let us know what you thought of the episode. And if you have any questions for the next after party, at Join the Party Pod on Twitter or Tumblr, or you can email us hello@jointhepartypod.com. We love hearing from you. Seriously, this show is fun to play, but it's a lot more fun to enjoy it with you and to listen to what you have to say and to discuss with our patrons in Discord every single dang day. Patreon.com/jointhepartypod is where you can get in on that action for as little as $1. Seriously, I didn't think I had room for another chat forum in my life, but the Discord is the thing that I check when I wake up and before I go to bed. Like, it's my favorite place on the internet. So thank you to everybody who supports us there. And to those of us who are about to join, we salute you.
Bye, guys.
See you later.
Undying light be with you, and I ain't lying.
No.
Ugh.